The following talk was given by Father John Hardin, July 15th through 19th, 1998, Retreat for Men. Gifts for the Will, beginning with Fortitude.
That you are submitting, we can still use some more for this evening. And I keep repeating, a good confession means having made a good retreat. So far, we have been reflecting on the four gifts of the Holy Spirit relating to the human intellect, namely wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and counsel. The last three gifts are for the human will, and the first of these is fortitude. We begin by observing that the gift of fortitude implies that doing the will of God is not easy. It explains that there are obstacles to doing God's will faithfully. These obstacles can be from the very nature of what is to be done. There are easy tasks and there are hard tasks. Again, the difficulty will arise from our fallen human nature. Our natural tendency, spontaneous, built in, is to do our own wills. Again, the difficulty in doing God's will, as we've been seeing, comes from the world. The world, I never tire repeating, is the attractive, sinful behavior of other people. We all want to be accepted. Human respect is a spontaneous human instinct. And the more deeply and dearly we love someone, the more we want to, what else, to please that person. Unfortunately, not everyone whom we love is always, what a safe statement, always doing God's will. Again, the difficulty will arise and surrounds us, envelops us, is the machination of the evil spirit. If there is one technique of the evil spirit, it is to make doing our wills pleasant and doing the will of God difficult. And the difficulty may not be objective. The difficulty can be very deeply subjective. All kinds of imaginary difficulties the evil spirit can, shall I say, inspire. Again, the obstacles or difficulties will arise from God's plan for us. And God's plan, let's be clear, God's plan is not only for our own salvation. God's plan is that we might be channels for the salvation and sanctification of others. In some people's lives, these divine plans are less demanding, in others, more demanding. Finally, the obstacles will arise from God's designs. of what he wants done, and not just by us, what he wants done. Can there be any doubt? God's plan for our nation is to convert our beloved country back to God. And reconverting people is much more difficult, to put it mildly, than just converting people. To reconvert an apostate Catholic is much more difficult than to convert, say, a Protestant or a Jew. I know from experience. All of this is by way of introduction. Now we ask, what? What is this gift of fortitude? Let's be clear. There is a virtue of fortitude, one of the four moral virtues, as we've seen: prudence for the mind, for the will, justice, temperance, and fortitude. The virtue of fortitude is the virtue which enables us to overcome our fears, just as the virtue of temperance is the power we have to control our desires, to temper, to control, to master our desires. For the virtue of fortitude, to master our fears. The gift of fortitude, however, as we've been saying, the gifts are divine inclinations, supernatural, which perfect the virtues. In this case, the gift of fortitude perfects, elevates, supernaturalizes the virtue of fortitude. It is, therefore, the gift of fortitude, that supernatural inclination which enables our wills to do and hear the word, to do great things for God, and do these with joy, without fear, and in spite of all obstacles. Behind the gift of fortitude is the implication we're not just living a natural life, we're living a supernatural life, a superhuman life. And I keep repeating, a naturally impossible life. Over my 50 years in the priesthood, I have, in God's providence, dealt with some very, very difficult situations. And I keep telling people, the more difficult, the more demanding, the more humanly impossible the conditions in which God places you, the more holy he wants you to become. And that is the infallible teaching of the Catholic Church. Now, what does this gift of fortitude enable us to do on the level of action? Enables us to activate, to put into practice, a and even enjoy doing what, I repeat, naturally speaking, he would not, I don't say want to do, he would not do. And let's be clear, to want to do what is demanding, not because it is naturally pleasant. If there is one distinction I would like to make clear during this retreat, it is there are two kinds of satisfaction. Call it two kinds of joy. There is natural joy and is legitimate. Any of a hearty meal. Having a good, strong, healthy body. But there is also a satisfaction that does not come from nature. All I can do is repeat words, and I am still learning day after day, growing in my own understanding of the faith I profess. And what I'm learning as the years go on is there is a joy, there is a happiness of which the world knows nothing. And this fortitude of which we are speaking provides us with joy in doing not just the naturally hard things, I want to emphasize, the naturally impossible things. Having written a 500-page unpublished book on miracles, having taught the theology of miracles, we are to live nothing less than miraculous lives. And a miracle, by definition, is that which exceeds the powers of nature, the powers of physical nature, like walking on water, the powers of mental nature, like understanding the mysteries of faith, without having had, in some cases, even any ordinary education, like a Catherine of Siena, like the most recently declared Doctor of the Universal Church, never studied beyond what we call grammar school, a Doctor of the Church, which means a teacher of the Church. That's an intellectual miracle. But we are here speaking of living a morally miraculous life. And the word morality is a perfect synonym in the Catholic vocabulary with liberty. The will being capable of choosing and loving things which the human will would never desire, never choose, and least of all, never love. This gift of fortitude enables us, and I mean it, to love the cross. I know the sciences of psychology and the pseudoscience of psychotherapy. That's pseudoscience. I know them too well not to know and those please God like us, who are trying to do God's will, God's will beyond what the human reason could even conceive. I know too many people who have been institutionalized in mental asylums before they lived, what shall I say, a deeply spiritual life. This gift of fortitude enables us to enjoy doing what, I repeat, naturally speaking, would make us run away from, and not just run away from, but dread, not even think about. This gift of fortitude enables us to suffer, accept, put up with, not avoid, not run away from, and not fear or dread in the depths of our souls what is contrary to our own wills. If there is one underlying theme for this retreat, it is to realize there is only one warfare in the church militant on earth. Only one. Between two wills. The will of God and our will. Let me be still more clear. I'm still on the what. To be stressed is that this gift of fortitude is a superhuman gift. It is not only the grace of resigning ourselves, not in the grace of patience. Patience, as we've said so often, is the voluntary acceptance of pain. All right? I'll take it. It is not only the gift of endurance, not even just the gift of courage in passively accepting what is unpleasant. In the next sentence, I have to say, otherwise I would not be honest. The gift of fortitude is a positive desire to love God as He has chosen to love us. If there's one phrase that should penetrate every fiber of our body and every faculty of our soul, it is St. Paul's statement, speaking of the Son of God, having joy set before Him, He chose the cross. We too, I hesitate, the audiences, I don't use this language yet. Sheer common sense prudence. But His gift of fortitude enables us, with the grace of God, to choose, to prefer, to select, to elect what involves pain. And pain, I repeat, is whatever is contrary to the human will, and the principal meaning of pain is not pain of the body. To prefer what is more demanding in our will, prefer that. That's the gift of fortitude. And by implication, is no question of sin. And in retreats, I tell people, I'm telling you, the single most important word is the word more. More than I have to do. More than I'm obliged to do. More than God's preceptive will commands me to do. So much for the what. Now, the necessity. The necessity for those who are to give their whole hearts to God. In the language of the Bible, the heart stands for the will. Giving their whole wills to God. Our Christian faith places demands on them providential opportunities to go beyond not just the natural law, but even beyond what we call the precepts of the gospel. If you have not read, read. The document of the present Holy Father on what he calls Vita Consecrata, the consecrated life. For the first time in papal history, the present Vicar of Christ tells believing Catholics that to live a consecrated life is not only reserved for those whom over the centuries we called, well, consecrated persons, like who? Like members of religious institutes, like members of religious communities, like the monks or the nuns. Consecrated life, of course, belongs also, with emphasis, to those who under vow have consecrated their lives beyond what even according to the precepts of the gospel Christ wants us to do, says John Paul II. The consecrated life is now open to all followers of Christ. And the need for living this consecrated life is because the world has become so plagued with evil, so penetrated by the untruth, that someone had better be living, I repeat, a superhuman life, a life of such generosity, such self-sacrifice, as never before. And I think I should share this statement with you. The gift of fortitude is the gift of martyrdom. As I've said before, and I'll keep repeating, I know no Pope in history who has spoken and written at such length about the need for martyrs in the world today as a present vicar of Christ. And believe he, the Pope, is living a martyr's life. Implied, therefore, in his gift of fortitude is the duty we have to witness to Christ and paying for our fidelity by what language am I using? By enduring a living death and death to self. Let me be very clear. Denying to self, not by submitting our wills to another human being, but surrendering ourselves to the will of God. But notice, it is not just living such a life, but witnessing to this, and I repeat, the heroic following of Christ. You might be thinking, Father, please, I know you give retreats to religious. A retreat recently for the Carmelites in Dallas, Texas. And we're not religious. That's right, you're not, in the technical sense. But you are to live, and I believe it is the first time I'm stressing this, the way I'm doing now, in retreat to lay people. We are to live a consecrated life by witnessing to the power of a divine grace to a world that is, what word should I use, mesmerized, hypnotized, should I even say possessed, by the evil spirit whose principle, that's PL, the adjective, and PLE, the noun, whose principle is your greatest joy comes from doing your own will. That is a demonic lie. But my friends, you don't just, in my case, use these words. In your case, hear what I am saying. To live this, we need extraordinary grace. And the gift of fortitude is God's infallible assurance that we will be given this grace. Better, we have been given the power to resist our own wills, master our wills, and totally surrender the will of God to the will of God when we ourselves would want or prefer. You husbands and fathers, marrying a miraculous married life. I know too many married people, too many husbands and wives, not to know to live a Christ-like married life in our day is for many to live, and I mean it, a martyr's life. in our nation, in which, as I've said, more than one half of our American marriages statistically end in divorce. Their contraception is the law of our nation. We are the bishops. In 1968, just 3 years ago, this month, Pope Paul VI issued Humanae Vitae, the American hierarchy, pages of holy water dripping piety, smelled of incense, told the Pope to mind his own papal business. And as Pope Paul VI predicted, once you practice contraception,